We would all like to offer our millions and trillions and billions of prayers and blessings for all of the devotees who have attended this yatra, and millions and trillions and billions of blessings for you to take the realizations and inspirations from this yatra back to your homes. And, yeah, I think we're all very sad now that the yatra is over, but Hari Priya Radha keeps telling me that Maharaj says that the yatra never actually ends. So how can we take these inspirations back home? We feel like when we're saying goodbye to Radhanath Swami, when he's going off on his travels to London and New York and Chicago and these other places, we so much want to go with him and just even be like a little bug on the wall, like a little fly on the wall to listen to his wonderful teaching. But I was thinking that wherever Lord Chaitanya used to go, his preaching was so super transcendental that everywhere he would go, people would say, I want to go with you, I want to leave my family, I want to just travel with you. And he would always send them back home. You know, just go home and do kirtan and read the Bhagavatam and Bhaja Krishna, Laha Krishna, Kaha Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada, we always would just want to, wherever he would go, we would want to go with him. But really our task is to take what they've given us and to apply it in our own lives and teach others in the same way that we've received from them. This is really where the new work of love begins, right? Love and separation, to show our gratitude for all we've received during these wonderful, magical days of the yatra. Service and separation. There's a beautiful story about Srila Prabhupada where it was a Vyas Puja ceremony. And there was a devotee who was sitting right next to the Vyasasana on the floor next to Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasana. And each devotee, as they would come up and glorify Srila Prabhupada with so many beautiful words and eulogies and glorifications, this devotee was hearing Prabhupada very quietly say under his breath to each one of them, Prabhupada was saying, you become, now you become. So whatever words they were offering to Prabhupada, Prabhupada was just reverberating it, boomeranging it back to them. You become whatever you're saying to me, now you become that. And you carry it forward into your life. So, yeah, it's very natural. I was hearing Srila Prabhupada speak in a lecture recently, and he was saying that the Father always wants to see the Son surpass him. So if the father is an MA, the father wants the son to be a PhD. So this is the great joy of the father to see the son or to see the daughter surpass him in his work. So I think this would please Radhanath Swami very much to see us carrying forward all the gifts we've received from him during these days, carrying them forward in gratitude into our own lives, into whatever venue you're going to in your life, your laboratory, your courtroom, your hospital, your classroom, your children, your husband, your wife, to carry it forward into those relationships. And I was also thinking about how we read in The Journey Home when Radhanath Swami was being stopped by the border guard, who was telling him that, no, you can't come into India. India has enough beggars. We don't need any more beggars. And Radhanath Swami was finally promising that wonderful Sikh gentleman that, no, I promise to do something wonderful for the people of India. So
So look what he's done, and look what he continues to do everywhere, every year, everywhere he goes. But in fact, he doesn't stop with India. He doesn't discriminate that only he will be doing good for the people of India. In fact, he's doing good for the people all over the world by giving them this beautiful message in such a humble way, in such a sincere way, the message of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radhana Swami gives himself so selflessly every night. He speaks, and even though he's really not feeling very well, he's not well, he's been running a fever, but he gives himself so extremely and extraordinarily and in billions and trillions of ways. So what about me? What about you? What can we do to try to repay? What can we do to try to pay this forward? We need to go back and to our own places and see what is my unique contribution, what can I do? Because each one of us has a unique contribution. Each one of us has a God-given ability. Just like I always like to think of snowflakes. Did you know that when they look at snowflakes under a microscope, every single snowflake is unique and different? They've never found two to be alike. So if you don't offer your unique contribution to Krishna, if I don't offer my unique contribution to Krishna, then the world will be that much less, even though our contributions may be very small. There's a beautiful quote from Mother Teresa where she says that she speaks about herself and her sisters in Calcutta, and she said, we think that whatever we are doing is just like little drops in the ocean, but without our contributions, the ocean would be that much less. So we have to think, what are the gifts I've been given? What can I do to pay it forward? To pay forward what Radhana Swami has given me, what Prabhupada's given, what Lord Chaitanya has given in these beautiful, beautiful pastimes. And we can look at that in big and very grand ways, but we can also look at it in very simple ways. By the way you treat the people in your own life, they will know how much Krishna and how much your Guru Maharaj loves them, you know. By the way you treat your husband, by the way you treat your wife, by the way you treat your children, by the way you act in your office or in your hospital or in your laboratory or your courtroom or in your business. People should be struck that this is an extraordinary person, and their dealings in the world are very different from everyone else I've ever encountered in my life. This will be actually paying forward the gifts that we've received. I wanted to share with you four principles of community building that Bhaktitirtha Swami explained that I think are very important for all of us to meditate upon. There are four principles. You can note them down and try to remember them because they're very important. The first one is that we should try to treat everyone in our lives like the person we love the most. You know, when your Guru Maharaj is coming, everyone's running around and get the garland and get the Mahaprasadam. But maybe there's someone who's just walked into the temple and nobody's taking care of that person. Or what about the person who's sweeping the floor or operating an elevator, someone in the most simple occupation? How do we treat that person? So if we could treat everyone in our lives the way we treat the person we love the most, what a different world this would be. So that's the first one. And the second one is to treat, it's very similar to the first one, to try to treat everyone in your life as though the success of your spiritual life depends on your interaction with them. As though Krishna's watching, which he actually really is. Krishna's watching to see how are you treating this street sweeper or bathroom cleaner or your mother or your kids or your husband, wife, whatever, you know. So that's the second one. The third one is to try to see in any disagreement that maybe there's something that I might have done to contribute, first of all, before going to blame the other person. Maybe there's something I've done to contribute to this problem or this disagreement. And the fourth one is also very important, my dear devotee friends, that if you look around you right now at this yatra, the people who are with you, the people who are sitting next to you, these are the people who are in your lives, and these are the people who will most probably be with you also at the time of death. So how cherished these people are and how we have to treat them so lovingly, because these will be the people who will be there to help us remember Krishna at the time of our own deaths. So how important that is. And I just wanted to close with one thought. In The Journey Within, Radhanath Swami, when he defines bhakti, he quotes, I found it amazing that he quotes from a great Catholic teacher in his definition that he gives of what is bhakti. And he quotes from the great Catholic teacher Thomas Merton, and he says that in order to love, we have to, he says, love is not about getting for ourselves, but in order to love, we have to climb out of the cradle like a baby. A baby's in a cradle, right? And they're just, it's all about me. You know, just, it's all about me. Everyone is my servant, meant for my pleasure. So he says that in order to love, we have to climb out of the cradle where everything is about getting for myself and grow up to the reality and the realization of giving. So this is bhakti. So these are a few thoughts, and thank you so much for allowing me to come to your wonderful yatra, and I hope I get the chance to come back in the future. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dear Maharaj, exalted God brothers and God sisters and dearest devotees, now we are just leaving what we call a closing ceremony. And I found this term quite sad. Maybe we should find another term, because closing ceremony, you know, time went so quick in this beautiful yatra. Time didn't take the same sensation as usual. It was at the same time eternal, lasting very long and going very quickly. So, like in the French language, when we bid farewell, we say au revoir. Au revoir means we are going to see each other very soon. So we can say to each other au revoir. And I don't know for you, but for me, this wonderful Kartik Yatra with Radhanath Swami and all the close God brothers and sisters, it's just like the peak of the year. It's so many spiritual adventures in the year, but that Yatra is so special. So, of course, I will follow in the footsteps of my dear God sister Rukmini Prabhu to express, first of all, my unlimited thanks to Radhanath Maharaj. And we have seen, all of us, how he gives himself fully, like, I don't know, more than 400% of himself to this yatra. how he's sharing with us his very inner personal realizations without any personal thought, any, he doesn't care for his personal health, in poor health, in good health. He will be with us sharing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And he's making the scriptures alive. He's making us actually witness the Leela of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Last Yatra, at the end of the last Yatra in Mayapur, he was describing already Lord Chaitanya when he was a child and up to the point when he took sannyas. And he told us, if the committee decides to go in Jagannath Puri, I will just pick up the pastime and it will be all this very deep, the highest pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in separation. So that's what he was allowing us to witness and even to participate. So Jagannath Puri is such a special place. We are so fortunate. It's my third time in Jagannath Puri, but this time it became deeper and deeper. We heard this morning, I think it was Shyamananda Prabhu who took us to Parikram, and he was saying Jagannath Puri is the sweetness of Vrindavan. It has the mercy of Mayapur and the magnificence of Dwarka. And Maharaj said, actually, Jagannath Puri is the land of separation. So, of course, the separation of Lord Chaitanya for Krishna, very intense separation. But for us, all of us here, it's going to be also separation from each other. And it was very magical. It was like, although we were 7,000, it was like we were one body. In Kirtan, when we were answering the Maha Mantra, it was like one voice, one heart, one ecstasy. Yesterday we were seeing the beautiful dancing of Chandramouli Maharaj, and we all felt like children, you know, dancing and enjoy. So it's going to be hard to separate. But in separation, we have learned there is union, and in a meeting, there is also separation. So thank you, Maharaj, to have increased our taste for the holy name, for Krishna, for Lord Chaitanya, and thank you to every one of you. As Rukmini, dear Rukmini said, you are very unique, and it goes both ways. Of course, you see us as Srila Prabhupada's disciples, so you give so much love because you see Srila Prabhupada within us. You are thinking, oh, they met Srila Prabhupada. But us, we also see Srila Prabhupada through you. You are Srila Prabhupada's family, and we become very enlivened. But by your sincere service. And of course, you very humbly, you're asking for blessing, but we always tell you, we don't know what our blessings are worth, but we are praying to Srila Prabhupada that he gives you full blessing in your devotional life and that you can please your dear spiritual master. So I would like to conclude to tell you about one god sister. She left this world more than a year ago. It was the hours of Janmashtami coming. She was in London. She was born in Poland. Her name is Kulangana Devi Dasi. And Maharaj said about Kulangana that if she didn't go back to Godhead, who will? And so she was very famous, you know, to do in a very devotional way some beautiful Mongol sweets very decorated, with expertly with love. And to give you an idea of her personality, when she was in a deep coma, almost on the verge of leaving the body, one doctor just shook her to see if she was still in her body. So she came out of that coma, and she was very angry. She said, "Don't you see I'm trying to go back to Godhead?" And then she said, I have no fear. I have no waste in my life. I have full faith in Srila Prabhupada. I have no fear of death." When she was almost going to leave this body, Bhaktirasamrita Swami asked her, "If you have the choice, would you like to be a gopi or a gopa?" And she answered with strong conviction, "I just want to go with Lord Chaitanya." So I thought, after hearing and sharing this beautiful yatra and hearing about Lord Chaitanya and his associates, maybe when our time will come, like Kulangana Prabhu, we will also say, "I just want to be with Lord Chaitanya." So thank you very much for your loving care. You are wonderful students and beloved students of Radhanath Swami. You took such nice loving care of us beyond all our expectation, and I didn't deserve any of it. But thank you so much, and all the best for your spiritual life, and the best in your daily life also. Hare Krishna.
I'd like to thank Radhanath Swami for his disciples inviting me to come to this yatra. And thank you, Chandramali Maharaj, my god sisters and brother, for you being here with us. Actually, when I got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, I was in the room with about 50 devotees, and I had to go up and in front of Prabhupada and say, he said to me, "Your name is Sarabhi Devadasi, the name of the transcendental cow, the giver of abundance of milk." And then I said my principles and how many rounds I'm going to chant. Now, I came from a family of 6 children and mother and father, but I never was kind of a outgoing person. So to be in that room of 50 people, everyone looking at me, I was really kind of frightened. And Prabhupada said to me, "Don't be afraid." He said, "If you follow this process, you'll go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this life." So when I see all these devotees out there, of course, I'm not so fearless like my god sisters, and I can talk to you all. I have a little bit of fear. I'm sorry. But the reason why I came on this yatra is because Maharaj's disciples, who I love very much, who have always, whenever I've come to the Chaupati, have taken care of me so wonderfully that even when I leave, they say to me, "When are you coming home again, Mataji?" And I said to them, "Yes, this is my home. I feel like that I'm at home here with you all because you take care of me so well." And it's been the same here on the yatra. We haven't had to worry about anything. They just, the devotees coming all the time and saying, "What can we do for you? What can we do for you? Is there something we can help you with? Is there something that you need?" And so that is just so wonderful to be in the association of so many devotees and them to have all have the most wonderful Vaishnava Seva. So one time, when the first time I think it was, I went to Chaupati and I stayed there. I was just totally overwhelmed with the wonderful service the devotees would give me. They came and asked me, what did I want for breakfast? And I said, what do I want for breakfast? You mean you're going to make breakfast for me? And they said, yes, yes. And I said, well, I usually have fruit and milk. And then they said to me, what type of fruit do you want? And I went, oh my God, you are asking me what type of fruit I want? And yeah, and then whatever I wanted, they went and got it. And then they asked me, do you have any clothes to wash? And I said, you mean you want to wash my clothes? And they said, yes, Mataji, you give us your clothes and we'll bring them back in the evening. So they brought them back washed and dried and ironed. And I never in my whole life anyone treated me like that. And so I went to Mayapur after that, and for the first time in my life was I able to get up and speak with people. I had an operation at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and it was just so amazing. And somehow or other, I got, for some time, no fear. And so I was able to get up in front of the devotees and tell them all about how Lord Chaitanya loved to serve the devotees, and how if they wanted to make thousands and thousands of spiritual advancement on the parikram, then they would get that if they served the devotees. So just like, and I got that from visiting Chaupati. I didn't know what it was like to serve the devotees or even to, you know, have anyone do that for me in my life. And so it inspired me so much that I wanted to imbibe that in within myself. And so, and I wanted to share that with all the devotees on the parikram. And I had such an amazing response. And so I just want to share that with you all, that the real nectar is in serving each other. If you see a devotee that's looking sad, you go up and give them a big hug and just remind them that they have such a beautiful family. This family that Srila Prabhupada has given us is just the most wonderful family. Before we became devotees, we didn't know what it was to have a family or to even to know what it was to be loved. And Srila Prabhupada, he was just so wonderful. Sometimes the Madhijis perhaps don't get the best affection from others, but Srila Prabhupada, that's how I always remember him. I always remember him. Remember that Srila Prabhupada loved us, and he was always wanting to know if we have hot milk every night, not buffalo milk, he would say, cow's milk. And he would be looking to see if we were warm, and he would see one Mataji there and she just had a little shawl and she looked like she was cold. So he would say to her, are you cold? And she would say, pretend like she wasn't cold. But I mean, he would turn around to the temple president and he would say, you must make sure that they have everything that they need. And he was always so caring to us all, men and women. He seen us equally as his sons and daughter. There was no feeling that he favored one from the other. He loved us all. So in the same way, we have to read and read his books and read his Leelamrita and hear his lectures, because in every book and class and pastimes from Srila Prabhupada, you'll get the answers to all your questions. And so Prabhupada gave us that love so that we can imbibe that love to be able to give it to each other. So I find this yatra has just been so amazing. I feel really loved and cared for by all of you, and it really inspires me to want to come back and have all your association again another time. Thank you very much.
So I was not prepared for this. Sorry about this. But I would like to offer one or two reflections on my experiences here in this very heartwarming and loving and caring and cooperative yatra that has really been such a beautiful eye-opener to see how devotees can work together very nicely when there is good guidance, good leadership from the top, like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all the other senior devotees who work so nicely with the same mood. They have a saying in the Christian Bible that I and my father are one, which is often misunderstood. But the principle is that the father and the children, they work with the same one idea to spread the family business. And seeing how this yatra has been so expertly and blissfully and cooperatively coordinated with such enthusiasm and eagerness and willingness of the devotees to all play their parts, I am truly humbled by such wonderful devotional mood amongst you all. And I'm deeply grateful to every single one of you, and not least your good self, Radhanath Maharaj, for kindly making something so wonderful in ISKCON that it makes me feel so glad to be part of this incredible society. I have not only observed that the cooks have delivered brilliant prasadam every time without fail to feed all of us in so nice way. It's pretty amazing and daunting that you can all just pull together like this with one accord. This is actually how the world can change. This is in reality an example for human life, working together for the one aim of pleasing the Supreme Lord and His representatives, or should I say their representatives, because here in Jagannath Puri we keep finding so many extraordinary features of the Supreme Lord, and He's appearing as Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, He's appearing as Gornitai, He's manifesting Himself through so many devotees, He's appearing as Radha Krishna. And everywhere we go in Jagannath Puri, there's Krishna in so many ways, just around every corner, somehow or other. If it's not just the names on the buses, it's all about Krishna. It's all about Jagannath. And that is something which is not yet possible to experience in the unfortunate world where I come from. So hopefully we can work with this spirit of helping each other bring Krishna to the forefront in our lives and work in a spirit of nice, loving appreciation of the other devotees and trying to develop more humility within ourselves. And in fact, I can say that a yatra like this is an excellent opportunity to develop humility, just seeing the contribution or the contributions of all the kind-hearted devotees who don't just have kind hearts, but they express the kindness of their hearts in their dealings with others, their smiles, their encouragement, their nurturing, their service. It's wonderful. So I would like to thank you all very much from the bottom of my heart for giving us this chance to experience this. Now, I wasn't exactly invited to come on this yatra. I feel more like a bit of a gate crasher. But nevertheless, the devotees who I spoke to, that when I said I'd like to come, they were immediately encouraging. So I thought, yes, I should come and be with my old friends and make so many new friends along the way. But I do have one regret, and that regret is that I wasn't able to contribute more to the whole mood and ethos of the yatra myself. I would like to have done more, so please forgive me for all my shortcomings and accept my grateful thanks for your wonderful, loving, kind mood, and may that stay with us all wherever we may be headed for as the yatra comes to a close. So again, thank you all, my wonderful God brothers and God sisters and nephews and nieces and so many varieties, the wonderful children who display such a nice loving attitude and enthusiasm to dance and sing and share in the mood of their parents. It's really touching. So may we all take this and keep this nurtured nicely within our hearts and try our best to share it with others wherever we go. And may these yatras grow and grow. And take it that these yatras are more like punctuation marks in the journey of life, where we have to keep sharing and giving what Srila Prabhupada and all the predecessor acharyas have so kindly given to us, and try to offer something back in return so that we can make a genuine success of our human form of life. Thank you all very much indeed. Hare Krishna.
I think I changed my presentation of my talk every time I heard somebody else talk. So I'm going to try to focus on one of them. Savai pum samparo dhammo yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoituki apriyata yayatma supraseedati. This verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, is a response to a question by the sages of Nami Saranya to Suta Goswami, in which they ask, what is the ultimate good for people in general? And the answer was this verse, which is translated that the ultimate good is for the living entity to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the characteristic of that devotional service must be unmotivated and without interruption. That is the nature of the soul's relationship with Krishna. Material life is an interruption of that relationship. And bringing back that relationship means coming to the stage of serving Krishna without personal desire for gain, and ultimately making that principle our only activity in life. These yatras are what we say accelerated powerful present ways to bring our consciousness up to that level. We see that in these yatras, practically all of the 9 devotional processes are being here. We're hearing, we're chanting, we're remembering, we're praying, we're worshiping, we're engaging in serving the lotus feet. Serving the lotus feet means coming to the holy places. We're engaging in various types of service. And ultimately on these yatras, we dedicate our time and energy to focusing on the programs that are given to us. And so we're surrendering everything. We want to carry that consciousness with us to whatever we do when we leave this. But as was mentioned by Rukmini in the very beginning, the yatra is never really ends, because devotional service doesn't really stop at any point. It accelerates in these types of programs, and that acceleration endears the heart, attracts the mind, and makes us want to engage more and more in that mood of unalloyed devotional service. I've been associating with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj from the beginning of my practice in Krishna consciousness, and on these yatras, practically from the beginning when Maharaj began them, I believe in the early 90s, I joined a little bit later. It was towards the end of the 90s. And some of those yatras were 500, 600 devotees, 700. We went up to 1,000. And then as time went on, each year was increasing. But the service attitude, the mood of friendliness and care amongst the devotees, the attitude of surrender to whatever was needed in order to carry out the services was there from the beginning. But the amazing part is as we were growing in numbers, and each year it's getting bigger and bigger. This year, I think, is the biggest. Almost 7,000 devotees. This is phenomenal. Now, you can think it's more or less quite, not easy, but more manageable to organize something with a smaller number. But as the numbers get bigger, then there is so many dynamics to bringing people into those services and in that mood. But one thing I've never saw, or I've always saw, that's a better word, is that the sweetness, the surrender, the mood, the devotion, as the devotees so nicely expressed from their own heart, their own personal experience and being cared for, and seeing how that was being extended to everyone, that was always there. And that is amazing. That is really amazing. And of course, Radhanath Maharaj sets the mood. Every night, he speaks for hours on the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And every one of us just becomes absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It attracts our mind and it brings us to the consciousness of pure devotional service. There is nothing higher than to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is actually our goal, because this is the consciousness of the pure soul, is to simply serve the Lord in pure devotional service. And that service is accentuated and enhanced by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, which charms the heart and attracts our mind to serving the Lord and serving the Lord's devotee more and more. And so to come to this yatra is like, for me, a regular thing. Each year when I try to make my schedule, the first thing I do is I contact Radha Kund Prabhu and I say, where's the yatra? And it's only January, and it's still, 9 months or 10 months to go yet. And so I pencil that into my schedule, and then everything else is either before or after that. So for me, it's something that I look forward to, because just to be with all of you is so endearing. Because the mood that Maharaj sets and extends out to all the devotees and is reciprocated back by all of you is so sweet. And hearing the glories of the Lord is just an extra added sweetness that adds to the association of devotees here. I don't find that anywhere else. Even in some of the holy places we go to, I find there are so many wonderful things going on. But the sadhu sangha that is being, what we say, exuded by the devotees here is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And it's just to be there just charms the heart. And then I think, yeah, this is really the spiritual world. Because this is how the residents of the spiritual world, this is how they treat each other, with respect, with love, with care, and with a desire to serve each other and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all I can do is, I also want to, you know, mention what Tribhangana mentioned in his, that I didn't do enough service. I always feel like that. I would like to do more service, and sometimes I'm going to try to think how to do more service. But it's so hard because all of you are also serving so nicely. So it's always like everyone is serving everyone else so nicely that sometimes it's hard to find service to do. So we're just appreciating the service of all the devotees. And so I look forward coming to these yatras. But one thing I also wanted to say that is that when we leave here, let's keep these memories alive. And the way to keep the memories alive is tell other persons about what you have experienced, your realizations here, what you heard in the lectures. In other words, keep the Krishna Katha, the Vaishnav Sangha mood when you leave, and then you can continue that mood of yatra wherever you go. And you'll find that devotees want to hear, or other, even people in general would like to hear, what was your experience when you went on the yatra? So actually you're doing a great service to others. The most regrettable thing in life I can think of is that at the end of life, when we have to somehow or other depart from this material world, we lament, I didn't do what I could have did. I wish I would have did more service. I wish I had took more time for Krishna consciousness. Please don't prepare yourself not to fall into that, what we say, situation. We want to give as much as we can in each and every moment, and that is devotional service. So thank you very much. I'm grateful for all your association. I'm not as grateful as I should be. I wish I was more grateful, but I know something wonderful is here, and I'm feeling the happiness of all of your association. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm feeling very shy sitting here on the stage with all these very exalted devotees. I would like to start with a little prayer, which is composed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that nicely describes our situation here. He bhakta dvarayam chanchad valadi rutivo manak prasadam labhatam yasmat visistasveva natati. O my dear devotees, this creature is standing at your door, wagging his tail and barking. Please give him a little prasadam so that I can become the best of dogs and have the most worthy master. So, my Guru Maharaj, he sometimes used to say, he used to raise a question, what is ISKCON? Very simple answer, right? He would say the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then he would ask a question, so who's really a member? And he would say, someone who's Krishna conscious. And in one such occasion, in a big group of devotees, a few hundred devotees, he pointed at me and he said, "Madhavananda, not yet joined." So sometimes people ask me, "When did you join ISKCON?" I say, "Well, I'd like to." We live here in the Dham. We come to the Dham. But sometimes it's a little hard to enter into the Dham. We see strange things, people doing things which are not very nice. We smell bad smells. And it's a little hard to enter into the Dham. So we enter the Dham in the association of the devotees. In the Brihannaradiya Purana, there's a nice verse. Sakyam sapadinam shat ityahur dharma kobida. Those persons who are dharma kobida, who know the principles of dharma, they say that friendship is established just by walking 7 steps or exchanging 7 words with someone. Satam sapta padi maitri satsadam ti padi tata. Satsatam api ye santastesha maitri pade pade. And if someone is a saintly person, then just walking 3 steps with that person, exchanging 3 words with them, that person becomes your friend. But if that person is a santa, a very peaceful and wonderful Vaishnav, then every step you take with them, every word you exchange with them, establishes friendship. So I've been staying here in Orissa, in the Dham, for 25 years. But I'm still trying to become a member of ISKCON. I'm still trying to enter into the Dham. And when I come to a program like this, I feel very, very blessed because at least for a few days, I'm able to enter into this Dham. The Skanda Purana describes that Rahasyam etat paramam vishnostanam anuttamam. This place is a very, very confidential place. Very difficult place to enter into. What is the nature of this Dham? It's very confusing. We know that Vrindavan Dham is Madhurjamoyi Dham. It's a place of sweetness. Navadvip Dham is Odarjamoyi Dham. It's a place of kindness and mercy. So then what is Jagannath Puri? Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Shri Krishna Devasya Sada Priyam Tat Yata shiti su matura tataiva tat paramaishvarya bara prakasha lokanusari vyavahara ramyam. That just as Mathura, Brajmandala, is very dear to Krishna, so also is Jagannath Puri very dear to the Lord. And what is the nature of this place? He says, tat paramaishvarya bara prakasha. Here in this place, the greatest opulence is manifested. He says, but Lokanusari Vyavahara Ramyam. There's also sweetness in this place. My revered spiritual master used to say that Jagannath Puri Dham has 3 qualities. There's great opulence, but there's also great mercy. Here in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Gajapati Tarana because he delivered Maharaj Prataparudra, the Gajapati, or King of Puri. He's known as Sarvabhauma Shodhana, the personality who purified Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So this is a place of great mercy. And today we were speaking something about the origin of Patipavan Jagannath. But this is also a place of great sweetness. Here in this place, we have the Gambira. We have Jagannath, who wears his Bada Sringara Besh, his dress of the great Sringara Rus, every evening, part of which is called the Gita Govinda Kandua, a sari which has words written on it from Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda. Such a very mysterious place. Rahasya Metat Paramam Vishnu. Very, very Rahasya. So how can we enter into this place? How can we become a member? Somehow by the merciful association of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, hey Bhaktadwarayam Chanchad, I'm just a dog standing at the doorway, barking, making some noise. But by association with the Vaishnavas, then we can realize all 3 qualities of this Dham. In our society, we have great opulence, we have great temples, and lots of money, and lots of members, all of which are qualities of opulence. We also have great mercy, so many people coming to Krishna consciousness. And there's also great sweetness. But that sweetness can only be understood in the association with devotees. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyasa. We should learn how to associate with devotees. And we do that by coming together and hearing and chanting about Krishna. The Satvata Tantra describes Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshi Satatam Tvaya Karya Pritistavahare Yata Bhakti Nanashyati. If you want to protect your bhakti, Yata Bhakti Nanashyati, so you don't fall down. And the secret is we should learn to love devotees. And how do we love devotees? Hari Lila Sutochara, by hearing Krishna Katha. By hearing this Krishna Katha, we see the Dham, Shutekshita Pato. We see the Dham through our ears. And so I feel so very fortunate to have been a humble part of this meeting of Vaishnavas, and have gotten some chance to hear every day from Srila Radhanath Maharaj and associate with all the Vaishnavas. And through this association, I think I've gotten a little glimpse of the Dham. And I have some hope that I can become a member. It's been such a wonderful yatra. We've walked so many steps together. We've exchanged so many words together. And deep friendships have formed. And now there's another stage of our yatra. And it's about to close. And if you come here tomorrow morning, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll find something which is very, very depressing. You'll find all the devotees are gone, there's no kirtan going on, there's no Krishna Katha, and you'll find people taking down the big tent, they're removing everything. It's a little depressing, isn't it? And oftentimes when we're faced at this time, we have an idea, at least I often think, wouldn't it be nice if the festival never stopped? And the tents never come down, the kitchen never goes away, and we just always stay here? What do you think? But I thought a little deeper about that, and I realized, no, the festival has to stop. Because if the festival doesn't stop, then how will we experience the feelings of separation? My Guru Maharaj used to say, if there's only union, then love will die an untimely death. So we have to take the tents down. We have to go home. We have to say goodbye. Although, as Mataji was saying in French, we don't like to say goodbye. When I first came to Orissa, I found some of the devotees, when they were leaving, they would say, Prabhuji, I'm just now coming. I'm an English editor, so please forgive me. I would say, you don't understand proper English. When you're leaving the room, you say, I'm going. When you're coming into the room, you say, I'm coming. And they looked at me and they said, no, you don't understand. We don't like to say that we're leaving. And so when we're leaving, we say, I'm just now coming. And that's the end of the festival. Because if there is no end of the festival, then the festival will become the norm, and it won't be a festival anymore. But when we all go home, and when we cry, we feel very bad. We miss Radhanath Maharaj's wonderful pravachans. We miss Chandramouli Maharaj's ecstatic dancing and the happy faces of all the devotees. And we see the tents coming down, and we feel so very sad. That sadness creates a kind of fire in our heart, which prepares us for the next yatra. So I want to thank all of you so very much for letting this dog stand at your doorway and throwing me a little prasadam. And I have hopes that in your association and through hearing the Krishna Katha of Radhanath Maharaj, that one day maybe I can actually join this society. Thank you very much.
my special gratitude to my worshipable God brothers and God sisters for their kind and gracious presence. We've been speaking about the living example and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In each exchange between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, we find the sweetest of all manifestations of love, affection, in the form of everyone feeling themselves the servant of each other. No one puts themselves in the center. We're told that there could be true peace, true happiness in our own hearts, among our families, our friends, the society, the world, and all living beings, when we put Krishna in the center. But here in Jagannath Puri, we find Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya is putting each and every one of his devotees in the center. The message, if we actually want to put Krishna in the center, then we need to put all the devotees in the center, because that's what pleases Krishna. But the only way we could do that is we have to take ourselves out of the center. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Das Das Anudas. This yatra and all other yatras we've had is based on this principle of serving devotees. Do you know when the organization, management, and sacrifices begins for next Kartik Yatra? Tomorrow. Even I am struck with wonder to see what devotees could do without expecting anything in return if they're enthused, if they want to serve. The organization of the yatra, organizing all these buses, the accommodations of the various guest houses, dharmshalas, hotels, the organization of all the logistics of where devotees would be going, how the devotees are going to be divided up, the places of pilgrimage, the sound system, the stage, the construction of the pandal. We're eating prasad, but it takes months and months of planning to bring all the pots here in trucks from Mumbai, and buying all the boga, and planning out all the menus, and cooking and serving. And overseeing how all these different departments are serving together. And I can tell you, of all these different aspects of extremely hard work, dedication, and sacrifice, mostly by people who are fully engaged with major responsibilities, either overseeing entire projects, or working in business and maintaining families, children. Not a single Saivite expects even one rupee of payment. All the volunteer service is for free. It's out of love. The payment to see the people who come happy. Happy with each other, happy with Krishna consciousness. And each and every one of you, some of you have sponsored prasad so that the yatra is affordable to literally everyone. And come from so many different places, far away places from all over the world, taken time out of your work and chosen to be here and chosen to be enthusiastic to hear about Krishna and chant Krishna's holy names. I would like to speak the names of the devotees who have given their lives for the last year selflessly to make this yatra possible. But there's so many names, dozens and dozens and dozens. And I fear if I name some, I will not name others. But for all of you devotees, you know who you are. And I know who they are. They don't want pride. They don't want prestige. They don't even want credit. If you try to thank them, they'll become very humble and give the credit to someone else. And that's the spirit that awakens the true experience of a holy dham. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, do not try to seek Krishna. Try to serve Krishna with such love, devotion, that Krishna is pleased to see you. Krishna expands himself. Sri Radharani expands her divine energy. Lord Balaramji manifests the holy dhams. We can't see Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri with our eyes. But when there is a truly selfless will to please Krishna through our service to his devotees, then and then only does Krishna reveal to us the experience of the holy dham. Nasta prayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Srila Prabhupada explains it in this way, that we can only understand the book Bhagavatam when we render service to the person Bhagavatams. Through our service attitude, through our great determination to help other devotees taste Krishna more and more, Krishna gives us a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. It is by such service that Krishna will reveal the true taste of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The happiness of these pilgrimages are inspired by the devotees who are really trying to make each other happy. If we're thinking about our own happiness, we'll be pretty miserable. Or there won't be much of a spiritual taste. But when we're trying to make all others happy, Krishna gives us true happiness. The least we want happiness and we want to serve, the higher the happiness Krishna gives us. And I see that it is through this type of seva and sacrifice that these yatras are possible. And the devotees who work so hard, hundreds of devotees, they look forward all year to do it. They're standing in line to have the services that they can get, because there's no higher taste than service to the Vaishnavas. Whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would begin the experience of Vipralamba, or separation from devotees, he gave the same simple message. When he was about to take sannyas in Navadvip, he told everyone, continue what you're doing. Be at home, but chant the holy names constantly. Hear about Krishna. Worship Krishna. Krishna's your true wealth. And serve the Vaishnavas. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India to the Kurma Brahman, he came to his house for a day and then he was leaving. He said, I'll always be with you. You will feel my presence constantly if you always chant the holy names of Krishna and you share this Krishna consciousness with others. And that was Lord Chaitanya's message everywhere in South India, whoever he met. Even for a few moments, chant the holy names and share Krishna's love with others. And every year in Puri, when the devotees would be going to their respective homes, he gave the same message every year. And it was sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Chant the names of Krishna, hear about Krishna, and serve his devotees, and share this message with others. Madhavananda Prabhu, he spoke everything I'm trying to say and everything I've just said in one line. Just now coming. Krishna's just now coming for all of us by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. In giving, we receive. When Srila Prabhupada told us, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate to sustain and spread this mission. Real cooperation, as Lord Chaitanya taught, as Prabhupada expected, is when we really care about each other. When you treat each other with love to inspire one another, to be more and more enthusiastic to hear and chant the glories of the Lord throughout our entire lives. That's why we have these yatras, to inspire that dedication, that commitment. I'm just looking out at the sea, and I'm remembering how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Haridas Thakur prayed to him that I am the lowest of men, my body is condemned, my activities are abominable, but still you have accepted me as your servant, therefore you have lifted me to Vaikuntha. Although I'm untouchable in every way, by your arrangement, you gave me the highest honors at Sri Advaita Prabhu Shraddha ceremony. I have but one desire in my heart. I feel that very soon you will enact the closing chapter of your pastimes in this earth. I do not want to see that final chapter. Let my body fall before at your lotus feet, holding your feet to my heart, with my eyes gazing upon your beautiful moon-like face, chanting your name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Allow me to give up my life. Lord Chaitanya, he said, Haridas, all my happiness in this world is only because of your association. Why do you want to leave and do this to me? Haridas responded, why are you creating this illusion, my Lord? If an insect dies, what is the loss to the universe? There are thousands and thousands of devotees fit to sit on top of my head. I am the least amongst all your servants. What have I done? You're the independent Lord of all lords. Please fulfill my wish. The next day at Siddhabakula, Lord Chaitanya came with his most close associates. Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas, how are you? What is the news? Haridas said, whatever is your mercy. All the devotees gathered in a circle around Haridas Thakur, loudly chanting the holy names. Haridas took the dust of the feet of every Vaishnav and placed it on top of his head. Then with Lord Chaitanya's permission, he lay down in front of him. He clasped Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and pressed to his heart. He looked up at the beautiful moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya, and tears were pouring from his eyes as he cried out, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he gave up his life. The devotees were thinking, this is the pastime of Bhishma, by his own will. Lord Chaitanya was so emotional. He lifted Haridas's body, put it on his lap, and carrying the body of Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ecstatically danced. He danced and danced throughout the courtyard of Siddha Bakula. And as devotees saw the love of the Lord for his devotees, the kirtan tumultuously resounded throughout the entire universe. Swarup Damodar Goswami organized to put Haridas Thakur's body on a wonderful, it looked like an airship, Srila Prabhupada translates. And they had a procession. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the procession, loudly chanting and dancing and crying in ecstasy and separation and celebration for Haridas Thakur. When they came to the ocean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally bathed the body of Haridas, and all the devotees drank the water that washed his feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed for all time, because this sea has bathed the holy body of Haridas Thakur, it is forevermore a sacred place of pilgrimage. A hole was made in the sand. Haridas' body was lowered. They put Jagannath's prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, along with each devotee, put sand over the body of Haridas. Then they erected a platform, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with all the devotees, blissfully, while crying in separation, circumambulated again and again and again the samadhi of Haridas while chanting the holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the town of Puri near the Singhadwaram of Jagannath's temple, and in the mood of a humble beggar, he held out his cloth and went to each and every shop and cried out with such sincerity, "I'm begging for some prasad to hold a festival and a feast in honor of Haridas Thakur." Any shopkeeper was so excited to see Lord Chaitanya in this mood, begging on behalf to glorify his devotee. They were bringing big baskets. Swarup Damodar Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya, "No one will eat until you eat. Please sit." He said, "Just bring each shopkeeper a few palmfuls." Lord Chaitanya organized all the devotees, the pilgrims, to sit down for prasad distribution, and he himself was distributing. And in his enthusiastic to glorify Haridas Thakur in this festival, his hand would hold no less than what five men could eat. No one would eat before him. But while he was sitting there eating with the other sannyasis, he was telling each server what to give each devotee who was taking prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept saying, "Eat more, eat more." And everyone was filled to their neck. Please understand, what is this festival? The whole meditation of it all was to please Lord Chaitanya. And what pleases Lord Chaitanya? When we honor, when we appreciate, when we glorify those devotees who love him. Haridas Thakur. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended this incredible festival with a benediction to everyone. They were so pleased to hear it. He said, "By Krishna's mercy, He has given me the association of Haridas Thakur. And now by his own independent will, he has taken that that association away. Haridas Thakur is the crown jewel of Brahma's entire creation. And then he invited everyone to loudly proclaim, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jay. He was glorifying Haridas as if he had five mouths. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells this story because he wants us to understand how the Lord loves his devotees. Haridas Thakur was directly a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyone who's sincerely trying to make spiritual advancement, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, are a servant of the servant of the servant of Haridas Thakur. We're all servants of the servants if we're striving. And that's the way we should see each other. To actually get a real taste for hearing and relishing and realizing Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, we must first, and it's not an option, you cannot skip over it, because there's never been a case that has ever been in our history. We must approach by humbling our hearts to truly appreciate the opportunity to be a servant of the servant, to serve for the Vaishnavas, and together to spread this mission from Jagannath Puri. The holy name will resound to every town and village of the world, and each one of us has the opportunity now to return to wherever we're going and be an instrument of that grace. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, he compared Lord Chaitanya to the rising golden moon, spreading the rays of love of God throughout the universe. Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the chance, each of us, to be those rays, helping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace to spread everywhere. On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I wish to thank each and every one of you for giving so much of your lives to help in the mission of His love, His compassion. And I pray with all my heart that Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas, Panchatattva, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, Radha, Gopinath, all their mercy and blessings shower upon you to protect you, to enlighten you, to empower you, to be happy. Make each other happy and help the world to find the true happiness of Krishna. Thank you very much.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.